3 weeks, we have been looking at tools and practices to increase your experience of abundance, to increase your prosperity and your experience of having plenty in your lives. And so prosperity and abundance isn't just about money, although it includes money, but it's also about experiencing a plenty of joy and of peace and of friends and of opportunities and of creativity and whatever it is that you deem good in your life is how we are defining abundance. And so the first week we looked at gratitude and how when we focus on our gratitude for the things that we have in our lives, how that magnifies those things. And because our attention is on that and it feels good, our feelings and our thoughts on that good then attracts more good to us. And the second week we looked at getting clear about what it is that we really want, and then setting an intention to get to that thing, because that becomes the roadmap and allows the universe to rush in and support us in achieving that thing that we want. And last week, we looked at forgiveness and how in our unforgiveness, it's like we put up a wall around our hearts or a wall around ourselves. And that unforgiveness and that energetic wall then does not allow the good to flow into our lives. And so today, in this final week, we are looking at the ideas of giving and sharing of ourselves and of our good as a way to increase that flow, that law of circulation in our lives. And so this main chapter in the reading of this book this week was about that dreaded word, tithing. People have so much energy and so much resistance to that idea and that word, and I think that's for three different reasons. I think one of the reasons is in that we feel like somebody is telling us what to do. And even worse, they're telling us what to do with our money. And as religious scientists, we do not like to be told what to do. That's one of the reasons we're here in this philosophy. Well, I'll tell you one thing. Centers for Spiritual Living and Living Beyond Limits in particular, I will never tell you what to do. We don't tell you what to do. We don't have rules and dogma that you must live by and things that you must do. What I am here for, honestly, is to give you tools for successful living. To give you tools so that you feel like you are living a magnificent life. So that your life feels rich and fulfilling and full. I am here to support you in thriving. That's my goal. And so a second thing, the piece of resistance that we have around that idea of tithing is the thought, the church is just trying to get my money. You ever think that one? I know there are people that think that. Well, I'll tell you, to be absolutely honest with you, I want you to support this particular church. I want you to support Living Beyond Limits because I think what we're doing here is really important and I think it's really valuable. But I do not want to get your money. I don't want to take your money from you. And the third reason that we have a resistance to that idea of tithing is because we think if we tithe, we're not going to have enough. We won't have enough money. And so today, my intention is to give you a different perspective on the idea of giving. And so what I'd like to do is just begin with a little tiny history about the practice of tithing. And so if you don't already know this, the word tithe means one-tenth. And so that tithing was giving one-tenth of your good or your income. And that idea of giving back goes way back to prehistoric times. As soon as we moved from hunter-gatherers to an agricultural society, those people in ceremony started giving back to the earth in ceremony. I have a friend who practices shamanism. She starts every ceremony with giving corn back to the earth. It's always been a practice of giving back. But tithing, as we know it today, actually began as Levitical law. Officially, tithing began there. And it was actually a taxation by the government. Because during biblical times then, the government, the state, and the church were one. It was a theocracy. There wasn't a separation of church and state like we have now. And so that one-tenth taxation was to support the government. And so 10% of people's income was the tax that they paid to support the government. And there have even been times throughout history where if you did not pay that tithe, it was punishable by death. And so today, churches oftentimes carry on that tradition of giving one-tenth. And I know there are many churches that actually require that their congregants tithe. I have friends who went to a church and they were required to bring their tax documents in every single year and sit down with the pastor and they were given a bill. This is your bill for the year. And many Christian churches still teach that practice of tithing, that you give to God first. God doesn't need your money. And in this philosophy, and in prosperity books that you read, in abundance classes that you take, we teach the practice of tithing as a spiritual practice because it benefits you. We teach, what we really teach, is not necessarily tithing, but a consciousness of giving. So I want to start with saying I do not believe there's any magic in the number 10. There's no magic in giving one-tenth of your income, but there is huge magic in giving. There is huge magic in that giving from a sense of overflow and that giving without an attachment to getting something back. And so for this talk, let's just drop that word tithe. And let's instead talk about giving. And let's talk about expanded giving in our lives. And so when I talk about giving, I'm talking about giving of love and of energy and of time and of care and of concern and of your creativity and of your gifts and of your financial abundance. I'm talking about all of those things when we talk about giving. And so we have that picture that Pat painted that we actually don't have on the wall today, that is such an example of giving to us and giving to the center, of her incredible artistic talent and of the time that it took and of her love. I look at Yvonne today, brought sandwiches because we're having our annual meeting after church. That is giving to us as a community of her love and her energy and her time. And David and Barbara and Ray and Colleen show up every single week and set this place up, set the altars and the sound system and the lighting and the staging and all that stuff. That is absolutely giving of themselves to their spiritual community. Patches today, being a greeter, was giving and sharing of herself and her love. Did you get a hug when you came in? So I'm talking about sharing of ourselves and sharing of our energy. All of that is energy, no matter what it is that we're sharing, including our financial good. It's all energy. But for some crazy reason, we separate out this money thing like it's separate and different from everything else in our lives. But the truth is, money is just a symbol of an energetic exchange. Money is an energetic exchange saying, this is of value. I think this thing is of value. That's all it is. But it's all still energy that we're circulating and using and sharing in the world. And so when we give of any of that, we are placing ourselves in the law of circulation. When we give, not when we buy something. When we buy something, we are trading. I'm trading you this for this. But when we give, we are placing ourselves in that law of circulation. And as we do that, we open ourselves up for the universe, for that infinite good to pour through us and out into the world. In our giving, it flows through us. It's kind of like a faucet, if you think about it. If you turn a faucet on, the water flows into the faucet and out through it. And the greater the amount that you turn it up, the greater the volume that goes out, the greater the volume that comes in. But if you take that faucet and you turn it way down so just a trickle's coming out, then just a trickle's coming in. That's how the law of circulation works. And so when we give of our time and of our energy, we are like that faucet. But what happens is when we don't give, no matter what it is, if we're talking about money or time or energy or anything, when we don't give, what happens is that activity is cementing a belief inside of us that there is not enough, that we don't have enough. And what happens then is the law responds to that by giving us not enough in return. And so in this book that we're using this month, The Five Gifts of Abundance, she says, "For in reality, the resistance to tithing is empowering an erroneous belief that there is not enough." And Ernest Holmes, the founder of this philosophy, says something very similar. He says, "The law is compelled by its very nature to return to the thinker exactly what he thinks into it." And so it's not just our conscious thoughts that the law acts on. It is even more so our subconscious thoughts. So when we hold tight and don't give, we're holding on to that thought, there isn't enough to share. There isn't enough to give. And the law of correspondence says, okay, then there isn't enough. And that's exactly what we experience. That's exactly what we draw to ourselves. But the thing is, we are the ones that are depleting the flow. We are the ones that are turning the faucet off. We are the ones that are creating that. Out of our fear, out of our holding tight, out of our clenched fists. Think about it. We hold tight to not let go, but nothing can get in when your hand is closed like that. And the second thing that we do sometimes when it comes to the idea of tithing or of giving, we say, well, I'll give after I get. But that concept is still holding on to that idea that there isn't enough. It's still holding it back there in the back of our minds that there isn't enough to share, there isn't enough to give, and the law says, okay, not enough. So if you want to experience greater abundance in your life, if you want greater good and to experience plenty and enough and more than enough, give first. It's a spiritual law. That's what we're teaching, this law of circulation and this law of abundance. But it's like breathing, that giving first. However much you exhale is how much you intake. And if you think about it, when a newborn baby is born, that doctor smacks the baby to get the baby to cry and exhale so that it can inhale. But the exhale comes first. Colleen's mom actually fell recently and cracked a rib, and that punctured her lung. And so she was in the hospital, and then she was in a care facility, and she actually came home yesterday. But while she was there, she was doing breathing exercises. And those breathing exercises are about exhaling as hard as you can into that thing to push the thing up. Because it's the exhale that then the inhale is automatic. It automatically comes in. That's how that law of circulation works. And so Eric Butterworth, in my absolute favorite abundance book of all times, which is what David read out of this morning also, he says, "Jesus gave prime emphasis on giving as a way to achieve this degree of consciousness. Give and you will receive. Get the feeling of being a channel for the flow of good. Think give and you will receive. Think of your work as giving. Think of every relationship as an opportunity to give. Give to your children. Give to your neighbors. Give to the passerby on the street. Think, give. Give way. Let. Think not of what you are giving to, rather think of what you are giving from, realizing that you are simply giving way to the divine flow. In our giving, we are giving way to that divine flow, creating an opening for it to flow into our lives." And so the title of my talk today is Increase Your Circulation. And that's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about giving and sharing from a consciousness of fullness, from a consciousness of gratitude and a grateful heart for what we have in our lives, giving from a consciousness of joy and a realization of this fullness of life that we live in and how blessed we are in our lives, giving from that place within us. And when we do that, that's what increases the flow in our lives. Because I've already said, when we hold tight out of lack, we create lack. When we hold tight out of fear, that consciousness closes that flow. And so the key then is when you give, to give from that attitude of gratitude and openness and heartfelt connection and those things, because that affects what you get in return. Because if you decided today to start tithing 10%, but you did it with fear and you did it with obligation and you did it with resentment, it would not increase that flow. Those feelings and those attitudes obstruct that flow. It would not put you into a flow of plenty and of ease and of flow, because that wouldn't be your attitude. And so when we give out of our gratitude and out of that realization of good and that realization of the fullness of life that we are living, when we give, as Eric Butterworth said, as a way to give way to that divine flow, as a way to bring more good into this world through us, that increases our experience of good. And so we must give then just to give. When we give just to give, we're giving from a place of more than enough. When we give to get, we are still holding that belief that there isn't enough. And that's the consciousness that we're coming from. And so when I sit down and write checks, and I do, I sit down and write a check every week to Living Beyond Limits, and I write checks to Doctors Without Borders, and I write checks to Greenpeace and to FINCA, which gives loans to women in developing countries to start businesses, and Habitat for Humanity. Every time I sit down to write one of those checks, I feel so blessed. I feel so blessed to be in a position in my life that I can share, that I can give, that I can support things that I think are doing good works in this world, that I can support things that I think are important and that are making a difference. I feel blessed to participate in that. What we give our energy to grows. Whether you're giving something the energy of your time or your focus or your love or your money, what we give our energy to grows. And we give our energy and our abundance to where we are fed. We give it to the things and the places that remind us of who we are. The places and the things that give us an expanded sense of self, that allow us to step into a greater life and into our greater selves, the places that support our self-discovery, that support our flourishing, the places where we experience that divine that we live in and that lives within us, because we flourish in that. And so tithing then is a spiritual practice that enables us to move out of fear and into a sense of enoughness, into a sense of plenty, into a place of having a full heart and being grateful. In that, as we push ourselves and give from there, what happens is we discover that there is enough. We discover that there is always enough. We discover and become aware of the fact that we receive from so many different sources for everything. Celeste, can I tell your story? Celeste just told me yesterday that she's been doing this abundance program and that she has a dehydrator where she dehydrates fruits and vegetables, and she's been wanting to get another one. And this week, Sharon Baker called her, one of our congregants, and said, "I'm not using my dehydrator. Would you like to have it?" She's also been wanting to buy one of those things that you can seal and it sucks the air out of to like freeze. She also got a call this week from Leslie. "We have one. Would you like to have it? We don't want it." That's abundance showing up. It doesn't have to show up through exactly where you put your money like an investment, although it does. It shows up from a myriad of ways when we open ourselves to it. And one of the ways, besides the gratitude and the forgiving and the intention, one of the ways we open ourselves to that flow of good is by our giving and our openness to give. And so I tithe. When I get my taxes done at the end of the year, I have always given more than 10% of my income. And not all of it goes here to Living Beyond Limits, but about 80% of it goes here. And so one of the reasons that I tithe is because it puts me in that flow of abundance. My life is so abundant. It is so abundant and rich with friends and love and care and opportunities and money and all of it. I have never lived such a rich life. It is awesome. I know, I love it. And so what I do every week, I write a check for $80 that goes to Living Beyond Limits. When I started in this philosophy, I wasn't giving $80. I think I was giving $15. And then it went up to 20, and it's incrementally gone up so that it's 80 today. But it's happened gradually, and I've never, ever felt like I had less. In fact, I feel like I have more. And the second reason that I write a check like that to Living Beyond Limits is because I think what we're doing is important. I think what we have here is valuable, and I want this to keep going. I think this is a really good thing. Therefore, I want to support it. And I don't know if all of you know, but we do not get any money like from our parent organization. Everything that supports this ministry and pays our bills, pays the electricity. We don't pay electricity, actually. We pay rent, and we pay insurance, and we pay a musician, and we pay me, and we pay Abby on the soundboard. All of that comes from us in this room. It comes from Sunday offerings and from the fundraising that we do. And yes, sometimes we receive checks from people that don't even go here. People that believe also that what we're doing is a good thing and want to support that ministry. And on a quarterly basis, we write tithe checks to other organizations that we think are doing good in this world. Things that are in alignment with our purpose and our vision. So we also tithe, and every single month we write a check to Home Office. We support them for supporting us with classwork, and just as being an affiliated member, we support them. It's part of our job. And so I also know that at some point in my walking this spiritual path and being a part of Centers for Spiritual Living, I had this realization of how grateful I was for the difference this has made in my life. How much better my life is because I'm involved in this philosophy. And out of that realization, I realized I didn't want that just for me. I wanted this to be available for other people also. And out of that realization of wanting it to be available for others also, I started writing a check every week whether I was there or not. Because I didn't want my absence to mean that they didn't have enough money to flourish and to thrive. I wanted to support other people in having this experience also. And many of you in this room do that. Write a check whether you're here or not. And I say thank you so much. I appreciate it so much, and we are thriving. We may be small, but we are thriving, and we are healthy. And so my invitation to you is when you give from your gratitude. Give from that awareness of this rich and abundant and full and fabulous life that you're living, of all of the good that comes to you all the time from so many different ways. Give out of an awareness and a consciousness and a feeling tone of joy and of gratitude. Get centered in your heart and centered in how grateful you are before you write that check. Get centered in your love and in your gratitude. And I also invite you, as a part of this abundance program, to look at who you are giving to and how much you are giving. That was one of the assignments in class this week, was to really take a look at who you're giving to and how much. To look at how much income comes into your life, and when you look at how much you're giving, what percentage is that? What's the percentage that you're giving? And as part of that class, everybody was encouraged to stretch a little bit and to give a little bit more as a way to open up a little bit more to that increase, as a way to push through that fear that there isn't enough. Because when we stretch ourselves and give a little bit more, no matter where it is that you're giving, we prove to ourselves, oh, there really is enough. That's the thing that dissolves that belief, by our actions. And I would love you to support this center, but it doesn't matter to me. Support whatever it is that you feel like you want to support, but stretch yourself a little bit. Stretch yourself a little bit, not enough to get fearful, not enough to throw yourself into a panic, because that's not the consciousness that's going to create inflow. But stretch yourself a little bit more just to prove to yourself that there is enough and you will have enough. And so give of your time and of your talent and of your energy and of yourself and of your care and of your love and of your money and of all that you have. Give it, share it with the world. And as a result, you will absolutely be living a life of greater plenty. You will absolutely feel as if you are living a richer life, and life will be richer for you. You will be experiencing more joy and greater fulfillment, and absolutely be in that flow, and watch and see if your financial abundance does not grow and increase. And so blessings to all of you on this path of giving way to your spirit, this path of living this abundant life, this path of bringing the divine presence into this world in a way that is a beneficial presence on this planet. Blessings to you in all of it, and abundance to all of you. Thank you. And so I invite you to join me in an affirmative prayer. And so how good it is just to recognize that infinite presence that is right in this room, that infinite presence that expresses itself as life itself, that energy and intelligence within us that beats our hearts and breathes our lungs, that intelligence and wisdom and good that expresses everywhere, in and through everything that exists. That one, before time began and unto the ends of the earth, are that one filling this world with itself. How good it is to realize and recognize and feel that presence that is right here. And so I know that that presence is always where we are, that it walks with us and it walks within us, and it expresses itself through us, that as we open up to receive and as we open up to give and to share of ourselves and of our love and of our good, we absolutely increase that flow in our lives. And so today I know that we are absolutely living in this kingdom. And that right now, that presence of heaven, that presence of the infinite, is pouring itself out as a blessing into our lives, so grand and so magnificent that we could not possibly contain it. How good it is to be living this life of God, living this abundant life. And so I know that we, each and every one of us in this room, are blessed today, and that we are a blessing to everyone that is around us. And so I know that we are led and that we are guided into perfect avenues of abundance, that we are open and receptive and willing, and that abundance flows into us and into our lives. I know that good is the nature of God, the nature of life, the nature of this invisible one that we live in. And so it is with heartfelt gratitude that I say, thank you, God, that I am so grateful for this realization, for this abundance that we live in. And so I release this prayer into that infinite law, knowing that it is already done, It is done as it is spoken, and it is already done because it has always been so. And today, we are saying yes. And so the law says yes in response. And in gratitude, I release this prayer and say, and so it is.